And welcome back to the Stuck In Podcast. As always, I'm your main host, Shannon. Joining me this week is my co-host, Mamats. Mamats, say what's up to the people.
I don't know what it is that makes me feel like this. I don't know who you are, but you must be some kind of superstar. I don't know if people are going to remember that song.
Where's that song from?
It was called Superstar. Huh? It was sang by Jamelia.
Okay. All right. So, this week we are reviewing the award-winning anime, Oshinoko. We talked about it before. We mentioned it a lot during the anime awards, and we're gonna see if it lived up to the hype. I do want to pull up what categories it won, but we'll talk about that and see how was the show. Did it live up to expectations? Did it deserve the awards? You know. But yeah. Before we go into that, and this is a situation where, if you don't know, we record our shows about 2 to 3 weeks in advance.
Yeah.
So for us, this is still very fresh. I'm sure all of you have heard this by now. We lost one of the greats. So instead of doing a question of the week or a topic of the week, we're going to talk about the man, the legend, Akira Toriyama. If you didn't know, unfortunately, I believe it was March 1st, Akira Toriyama passed away. I believe it was a pulmonary embolism. No, sorry, a subdermal hematoma. He was 68 years old. If you don't know who this man is, you don't need to be watching anime. Akira Toriyama was the creator of the... No, all jokes aside, if you don't know who this man is, you do not deserve to call yourself an anime fan. Akira Toriyama was the creator of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super. He was heavily involved in Dragon Ball GT. I don't believe he was the one who was writing it at the time. but this man single-handedly changed the face of anime in his time.
Yep.
Anime would not be what it is today. Your favorite shows would not exist. Almost all of them have been influenced somehow by this man.
Yeah.
Not only anime, but all pop culture. Movies, books, cartoons, everything. This man's work has touched every facet of the entertainment industry. So we're just going to take a minute and talk about some of the things that he put his hands on or influenced, and just give you an idea of how big of an influence this man was by talking about some of the people that mourned his passing when they heard about it. Mamatsu, what's your two-piece, man?
I mean, this is our childhood, man. He created our childhood, you know? Without this man, I think we aren't, like, getting involved with anime. Most of us, I guess. Like, we grew up watching Dragon Ball in television, you know, in TV. No internet, no anything else. Maybe some kind of manga over there. I don't know if you over there got Dragon Ball manga, but we over here, we got Dragon Ball manga.
No, for us, manga hadn't taken off yet at that time, but we did get it later on.
During the hype of Dragon Ball, we did get the manga. It was heavily translated into Malay. Yes, I read them in Malay for some reason. But it's an icon, man. Even the title itself was changed or translated into Malay for some reason. It is not called Dragon Ball. It was called Mutiara Naga for some reason. But yeah, it's Dragon Ball, all in all. it is part of our childhood. And seeing this man pass is... sooner or later, everyone have to go away Yes, but I don't know. I would see this in our lifetime, you know. This is such a sad day, man.
It is. I mean, it's one of the situations where his work touched so many people, obviously ourselves included. I don't think we'd be doing this if we never end up watching his work. And I mean, for me, like, I still remember the feeling that I had when Dragon Ball Z ended. Back in the 90s, when anime aired, you didn't get the whole thing. You didn't get like
Yes.
weekly episodes. We would get chunks of a show, like 20 episodes here, 5 episodes there. But the problem was when they ran that, they would run the whole series, then show those new episodes, then start the whole thing over again, and you'd have that alone for like 6 months. So it ended up taking like 5 or 6 years for me to get through all of Dragon Ball Z. Mind you, there was no streaming. There was no like anime at every video store. If you didn't know someone whose family was able to get those from somewhere, you didn't get them. You had to watch what was on TV. So Dragon Ball Z for me was life every day after school at home watching Dragon Ball Z. And I remember when the final episode aired, just this feeling of emptiness and like completeness, but also like emptiness and just the totality of everything. And I'm like, well, what do I watch now?
Yeah, right.
Because Dragon Ball Z was everything at that point. And it's just such a huge impact he had on those stages for us. Like, there's not one of us who sat there and when Goku called for energy from the spirit bomb, you did not have your hands up. We all had our hands up. We all tried to go Super Saiyan. Okay. We talk about, well, like influencing the fan base. It was like, well, they Naruto ran. It's like, bitch, we were giving our energy to an anime character to kill Frieza. Okay. We were trying to tap in to deep wells of rage to go Super Saiyan, not knowing that not one of us has Saiyan heritage. Okay. That was the influence this man had on us through his characters. And his reach stretched far. Some of the things that he influenced, probably the most out there one for me that I didn't even hear about or know about until his passing was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic.
Sonic the Hedgehog, yes. So the design of Sonic, his spikes, if I remember what I read correctly, the spikes on Sonic were inspired by Dragon Ball by Goku. Also, the partnership of Sonic and Tails was inspired by Toriyama's work. No one would think about that. No one would
Yes.
think, oh yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog, that's got to do with Dragon Ball Z. No one thought about that. Another one was, I believe, said The Matrix was influenced by it. South Park was influenced by it. All of these shows that have nothing to do with anime were influenced by their work. You can't like the just the some of the things that happen in these shows, instant transmission and the way the fight scenes go, all of it's just so much of it's inspired by Dragon Ball Z. And if we're going to talk about influence, we have to talk about anime as a whole. And
Yep.
you can argue with me if you want to. I don't care. Toriyama's work inspired all of anime. None of the shows we have today would be around if it wasn't for Toriyama. People say, well, there's nothing about Dragon Ball Z in these shows. Maybe not. But this is what you call 6 degrees of separation. Or more aptly, a domino effect. A causes B causes C causes D causes E. Dragon Ball being the father gave birth to shows like One Piece, Bleach, and Naruto, the big three. Don't argue with me about the fucking big three. It's an official title that they earned because of the numbers they put up. There are only They are the only big three. If you want to talk about, well, this show should have been big three, well, go back in time and make their shit sell better. Then you could say possibly that they're big three. The big three are Naruto, One Piece, and Bleach.
Beach.
Okay, period, done. But those three shows were all inspired by Dragon Ball. You go from there, and then you see shows like, well, what about today? It's like, what about Demon Slayer? The Hashira were inspired by the Gotei 13. That show from Bleach was inspired by Dragon Ball. i.e. no Dragon Ball, no Bleach, no Demon Slayer. All I mean, of the anime we enjoy today has been touched by this man's work.
Even Hero Academia, I mean, in some ways, influenced by Dragon Ball, you know? Better shonen manga, yes.
Of course. The transformations, the power-ups that you see Deku go through, like the animation style, when you see Deku and he's radiating energy.
Yeah.
That is inspired clearly by Toriyama's work. No one can say otherwise. If you did, you'd be a fool. And all these mangaka and the writers of these shows tell you flatly, no, I was inspired by this man. They're not prideful to say, no, I came up with stuff on my own. They tell you what their influences were. And Dragon Ball and Toriyama are always on that list.
Yep.
Now, to talk about how many people he touched. We talked about his art and how his art touched people. Let's talk about the world mourning Toriyama, okay? Mm. These are just some of the tweets that I've come across. Mm. French President Emmanuel Macron showcases a picture that he has signed by Toriyama, artwork drawn and signed by Toriyama, of Goku in Super Saiyan 3 form with Buu, Majin Buu, Kid Buu, sorry. The French president has this.
French president, wow. See?
El Salvador, the consulate of El Salvador put out a press release mourning Toriyama.
Wow.
I mean, and Cartoon Network, the channel that I got to see all this on, speaks about the monumental impact that their show, that show and that man had on their channel. Because I guarantee you, without Dragon Ball, they would never would have had their anime section. Adult Swim wouldn't exist. Toonami wouldn't exist. Their channel would not have been what it is today or what it was without Toriyama. Street Fighter talks about Toriyama. Who is this? Archie Comics celebrated Toriyama. If I remember correctly, China put out a statement mourning the loss of Toriyama.
Yeah.
How often do you hear about China mourning anyone who is not a citizen of their nation? And even they had the need to, they felt the need to speak on the greatness of that man.
I mean, even in Dragon Ball, they involve Kung Fu, right? Martial arts.
Oh, yeah.
So that may be the reason why China.
There were so many reasons. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, China was quite pissed at him. China was quite pissed at him for a minute. It was either China or maybe it was Korea. But somebody was pissed at him for a minute because of the depiction in the show.
Yeah. But still, though.
But they still can't deny his influence and his greatness.
Yes.
And for people to think, well, he was such a monumental figure because he was just innately talented and gifted and great. Let's remember, Toriyama reached his height. And I think this is something that everyone needs to remember. Toriyama reached his height after failing.
Yeah.
Toriyama quit his job. I believe, I can't remember what his job was. I think it was in advertising originally. He went from that job. He quit that job. Decided to enter a manga contest for a weekly Shonen Jump magazine, thinking, "Oh, this will be some quick money," and he got rejected. He lost the contest.
Yes.
But one of the editors at the magazine said, "Hey, keep sending me your stuff." And from that failure, he went on to become one of the greatest writers and creators in all of media. And that wasn't his only failure, but he kept working at it, and he was able to achieve some of the greatness that we all strive for. And he is a prime example of saying, hey, just because you fail doesn't mean that you can't do better, that you can't do more, that you can't achieve what you want to achieve. And I think that is the greatest message that he's left us with. Is that we can do it. We can fail, we can lose, but as long as we get up and keep trying, we can reach the goals and heights we want to achieve. And I think that is the best gift Toriyama could have given us.
Yeah.
That along with some of the greatest anime, video games, and manga. that a lot of us have ever seen.
I mean, who would have thought that a manga artist can be this successful, right? To be like able to be recognized by the whole world, I guess. Not just like people in the community, but the whole world. People who doesn't watch anime knows Dragon Ball, you know? To lose this guy is, I don't know, man. I don't know what will happen next to the Dragon Ball franchise. It is still ongoing, right?
But it's still ongoing, and I believe he had a few more projects he was working on for new stuff as well. Yeah. So we're going to have to see, hopefully, the hands that they were left in can live up to the legacy that he left, and we can be graced with a few more bits of Toriyama's work. Yeah. That's about all we can hope for.
Yeah. We all, I mean, most of us, the boomers growing up, watching his work, reading his work, and hearing that this guy has passed away is just such a very upsetting moment for us all. But we enjoy all of his work. We wouldn't become like an anime enthusiast and otaku without this guy, I guess. So I guess RIP, man. RIP Toriyama.
Rest in peace, Toriyama. And I know I'll be keeping your work alive, because as soon as my son gets a little bit older, we're going to start Dragon Ball from the beginning.
Wow. From the beginning, huh?
From the beginning. Ooh. From the beginning. He's watching all the way from Dragon Ball all the way to through Z. We skipping over GT. GT. I still don't like ZT, okay? I still don't like GT. all right. Oh my God. Now that we've paid homage to the great, let's go on to the topic of today. Talk about some, hopefully some lighter stuff. Actually, knowing that with the show we're reviewing, we're not going to talk about lighter stuff. let's talk about this show. Let's celebrate the medium that brings us all together, and let's get in, let's have some fun.
Yeah.
So as I said before in the beginning of the show, we're reviewing Oshinoko, and we chose to review this show because of the awards that it won at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards. And Mamatsu wanted to see if it lives up to the hype, you know? Did it deserve the awards?
Is it an idol anime?
Let's talk about this show. Loosely, I don't know what the fuck this show is. This show threw me for so many damn loops. It's not even funny.
Oh,
but let's get into this. So we're gonna hit that synopsis. We're gonna do scores and slogans, and we're gonna dive into this. So the synopsis, as always, comes from MonaMillis.net, and it goes like this: in the entertainment world, celebrities often show exaggerated versions of themselves to the public, concealing their true thoughts and struggles beneath elaborate lies. Fans buy into these fabrications, showering their idol with undying love and support, until something breaks the illusion. 16-year-old rising star Ai Hoshino of pop idol group Bikomachi has the world captivated. However, when she announces a hiatus due to health concerns, the news causes many to become worried. As a huge fan of Ai, gynecologist Goru Amemaya cheers her on from his countryside medical practice, wishing he could meet her in person one day. His wish comes true when Ai shows up at his hospital, not sick, but pregnant with twins. While the doctor promises Ai to safely deliver her children, he wonders if this encounter with the idol will forever change the nature of his relationship with her. That is the synopsis for Oshinoko from Animalist.net. Scores and slogans. Mamats, what you got?
Okay, I will give this a 7. And my slogan for it is, it is not all sunshine and rainbows up there.
Okay. I'm going to give the show, I'm going to 7.5.
Ooh.
And my slogan, my slogan was getting a little too close to yours, so I don't know if I want to use it now. We're going to be able to talk about plagiarism and shit.
Oh, my slogan again?
Was going to be all that glitters isn't gold. Well, it's, my slogan was all that glitters isn't gold.
Yeah, pretty much the
and
same.
And revenge is a dish best served cold. Yeah. So.
Yeah, we used that one before.
I have. There was a twist on it. The full thing was all that glitters is not gold, and revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyways. Let's talk about
let's talk about it. Oh my.
So let's first look at what because I know it won anime of the year. It was an anime of the year nominee. I believe it won, didn't it?
It didn't won the anime of the year. I think it won something related
okay,
to
so
the,
let me go through here.
Music, I guess.
That's what I'm trying to see.
It is a runner up for the best drama. Yeah, it won like the intro or something like that. The best intro.
So it was nominated for Anime of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Best New Anime Series. Best Character Design.
Mm-hmm.
Best Director. Best Art Direction. Best Drama. Best Supporting Anime Character. Best Anime Song, Best Anime Score, Best Anime Opening Sequence, Best Ending Sequence, and then we started getting into vocal performances. So it was nominated for quite a few. Did it win any? Not Anime of the Year, not Anime Series. Oh, Best Anime Song.
Yeah, yes. It won an anime song.
Yes, it just won anime song, which is weird.
Yes.
That's weird.
It should have won, like, drama or something, you know? Or maybe supporting characters.
Well, who took best drama? Who took best drama? Attack on Titan took best drama. It wasn't going to be Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan.
all the AOT dick riders, it was not going to beat Attack on Titan.
Oh, my God.
So it looked like it didn't take too many. But that being said, this show was fucking weird.
It is weird.
This is why I gave it is weird. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah, it is not bad.
I was almost at an 8. I was almost at an 8, but it has some pacing issues.
Yeah, probably.
This show took me in a weird, weird place, man. So we start off with the whole idol aspect, and she's pregnant, and she's living her life and raising her kids. Like, one, the fact that both the patient and the doctor both got reincarnated into her children was fucking weird.
Yeah.
With all memories intact.
Mm-hmm.
Made this very
weird. Mean, one, the patient, I can understand, because she had, like, a very terrible life. Yes, and she's also like a fan of her. I think that is the trigger, I guess, for the reincarnation to become the children. And the doctor. I think I know why he was supposed to be reincarnated into this idol's children as well. To prevent her from dying, but he failed, I guess. Because of the stalker, right?
Yeah, that was so weird.
Yeah.
It was so weird. It was so weird. He's like, oh, I gotta stop this dude. No thought to call the cops. Nothing. Just, I'm gonna get this motherfucker. And then gets pushed off a cliff and dies. fucking weird. It's so weird. And it's weird that he went home. It's weird that he went home. A lot of times, doctors, especially if they're going to be on call, they don't go home. There's there's like a room in the hospital where they'll go and take a nap. So the whole premise is weird for me.
Yes.
They just chill at the hospital. They know they're going to have to be back anytime. They'll just sleep at the hospital. It's very weird. It's very weird. Then the whole reincarnation thing. I did love the fact that they addressed the fact that, yes, they have all of their knowledge. And he's like, I'm not drinking titty milk. This is not okay with me. Give me the bottle. And then immediately addressing the fact that his sister is pervy as fuck, and she's like, titty milk. And it's just like glaring at him while she sucks on the titty. Very weird. Very weird.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's quirky and funny at the same time. But I don't mind that. the fact that
I don't mind it. I'm just stating that it is weird.
Okay. The fact that he saw that his mom, I guess, at this point, was stabbed by this stalker. And he does.
Well, hold on. Let's not go there yet. Okay. We got more to talk about.
Okay, all right.
So I did enjoy like the fact that the part where like the band manager's wife is like, oh, I'm gonna sell this story to the tabloids.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we are angels from heaven. And it's like,
God intervention.
This is
like
the greatest writing ever. This shit is fantastic.
They are doing God intervention to this to this poor wife. Oh my God.
That was so good. I loved that. That was genius. Genius. And then the fact that when they get to the point where go ahead.
I mean, the fact that it is so real, man. It is so close to reality. I love everything about it, man. It is not like uncommon for this thing to happen, to cover up for their mistakes and everything. And yes, it is so they are courageous enough to touch all this aspect of behind the scenes stuff that most people doesn't know about or didn't care about most of the time, you know?
The things they shy away from or don't want to talk about because it's not enticing to the story.
I mean, part of it is a sensitive matter and it is personal, I guess. But this show really managed to tell us all of that message without being too monotonous. But before we go anywhere with this trigger warning, there's
trigger warnings.
Attempted suicide violence. In there. Violence.
No.
Attempted suicide. Remember that?
No.
Akane?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Cyberbullying, I guess, too.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of that. They touch a lot of that. Yeah. I mean, it is so...
They talk about a lot of the darker sides about idols.
Yeah. But anyways... But
let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it. So...
Okay.
I did enjoy the fact that like when you have like the adult in the child's body, they don't talk like children. They still talk like adults because they're adults.
Yeah.
You don't revert back to da 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 da. No, it's like, hey.
I mean, they're like trying to do that.
I want the Chips Ahoy. No, they didn't. They didn't try to do it. They tried to pretend and they realized it still came off as creepy, which is what they completely say in the show when they cast the son, Aqua, as a creepy child in a horror movie.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, as you can see from here, we've covered mostly light things, okay? We have the idol aspect and the movies and the creepy children and the jokes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then shit gets real. Because we follow her from the point where she has the children up until they're about 4 years old.
4 years old,
then, a stalker shows up, confronts Ai in her apartment, and stabs her. She then talks him down. He runs away, and Ai dies holding Aqua in her arms while he is talking to her, and Ruby is behind the door trying to figure out what's going on.
Yep.
This is some traumatic shit.
Yeah.
Like, I legit was like, the fuck just happened with this show? Like, I was all in the happy-go-lucky mood and this shit is funny, and all of a sudden you just gonna shank mama? The fuck, sir?
Oh, I mean, we saw this coming too, because the stalker is in the wild, right? He stabbed this doctor, and
I was expecting stalker behavior. I was expecting stalker behavior. I was not expecting the mom to get stabbed and die while the son watches.
Yeah. I mean, he stabbed the doctor and nobody has found the body yet. after
he didn't stab the doctor, he pushed him off a cliff.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, because he pushed him off a cliff. I mean, that's a whole lot different. And they didn't, mind you, they didn't even show us his real death. They showed him, like, laying there and then looking at his phone. And he's like, oh, my phone's ringing. I should really get that. And then it's fade to black. We literally see him stab her, pull out the knife, and her just bleed there.
Yeah.
And gets blood, like, wipes the blood on Aqua's face. That is some visceral shit.
Yeah,
I mean, it was such a tone change.
It's such a tone change. But if this kid is a kid, yes, it will be a very traumatic event. But he was a doctor. Why wouldn't he?
He wasn't. And that was the hardest part, because he's sitting there, he's diagnosing what the problem is, but he can't do anything. Was that is a whole nother level of messed up with the helplessness.
Yeah, probably. I was just sitting there thinking logically, I guess. But being there, facing the traumatic event, maybe I will act the same. Probably. But logically, but if you were a doctor, you will try to do something to save her life, right? Just do something, you know?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing. Yes, he is a doctor. Yes, he is technically an adult. But he is watching this woman who has cared for him as an infant for the last 4 years die in front of him. That is not going to lead you to being completely rational or functional as a person.
Yeah,
we
saw the aftermath of
that. But I mean, like, even like in the moment, because you're saying, well, he could have done something. It's like, no, he couldn't have, because he's watching his mother die. So we'll take it like this. If you have a man who is 30 years old, say 30 years old,
mm-hmm.
whose mother gets hit by a car.
Yeah.
There are times where that person will freeze up and go into a state of shock and not be able to do the things that he knows he needs to do because he's in a state of shock. This is where I think Aqua was. On top of that, he is 4 years old. He does not have the tools. And even if he did, he does not have the physical dexterity to perform surgery on a major artery.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was nothing he could do except watch her die. That shit was brutal.
Yeah. Thank God he is still rational and said, stay behind there. Don't come here, Ruby.
Yeah, he blocked Ruby from the worst of it.
Yeah.
And then shit takes a darker turn.
Yes, darker,
and a lot of y'all gonna look at me, a lot of y'all gonna listen to this and say, wait, you just said all of that, and you said it gets darker? Yes, it gets darker. Yeah. Why does it get darker? Because Aqua, at the funeral, well, in the car on the way back to the manager's house, because she has been lying to the public and saying those are her children, she takes them in to raise them. Aqua comes to a realization. No one knew where they were because they had just moved. Young man who stabbed his mother is a college student with no discernible skills, so he wouldn't be able to track her down. The only person who would have motive to tell where she is, who would be able to know where she is their father, who they've never met. So he believes that their father, he's assuming, he believes his father, who he believes he's in the entertainment industry based upon a bunch of logical factors, and believes that his father is the reason his mother is dead, and now he swears that he will not rest until this man dies by his hand.
Yeah.
So we've now gone from idol show
to
murder show.
Mm-hmm.
To
revenge.
This show was all over the fucking place.
Mind and then there's
at this point,
thing too.
Yeah. At this point, we jump back into the idol shit.
Yes.
They spend the majority of the rest of the show forming an idol group.
Not really, just two or three episodes. And this is, but still, the revenge is still going.
It's more than two or three episodes because it's an episode. It's more than two or three episodes because it's an episode to recruit a girl, and it's an episode or two for backstory shit. So in the reintroduction, hold up, I gotta pull up character names here. So in the reintroduction of Kana Anima, her reintroduction takes at least an episode. Then you
Akane Kurokawa.
Akane's reintroduction takes at least an episode. Then in the following episode, they get invited into the idol group. So you're talking at least probably 5 to 6 episodes in idol formation, including the performance, I believe. So you spend half the show, after doing all that mystery murder shit, forming an idol group.
But you need to know that the first episode is a movie long. An hour and a half.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was about to bitch you out for that. I was straight about to bitch you out for that. 2 hours, bro?
Yeah, hour and a half.
Fucking hours?
The first episode
was 2 hours.
So it is not actually like 11 episodes.
It was
like 14 heated. Or 15, yes.
I was heated. I'm like, this show was so fucking long. How am I not through with the first episode yet? I click on the thing and it's like, oh, you have all this time left. Like, I don't want all that time. I don't want all that time.
But they managed to pack all of that. Like, the prologue of everything in just one episode, I guess. In a movie. Like, yes. It's all about I raising the child in that first episode and everything. And then the show starts. The revenge part, I guess.
Yes, then the revenge part kicks in.
I went a half long.
I was so mad about that. It's like, you know how much anime I could have watched in that time?
But it's good, right? It's good, right?
It's good. That's not the point, bro. But this is what I meant when there's a pacing issue. You got an hour and a half movie with all of this up, down, up, down. What the fuck? And then you get into the main show and it's like, we're going to make an idol group. We're going to make an idol group.
Yes.
It's like, the fuck, man?
It was back into... It's all about Ruby. Ruby wants to become an idol. And Aqua doesn't want her to become an idol because of the trauma, I guess. Still. It's all correlated to the whole thing, to the revenge part. But he cannot stop her from doing so.
He ends up supporting her in every way he can.
But the amount of effort that he put to stop everyone from reaching her to become an idol, man, is so next level, you know? Like, this is far beyond the helicopter parenting that we saw in every media. This is messed up. This is so twisted, I guess.
I don't think so. You have to remember, you're talking about someone who, one, liked idols, saw the complete darkness of that world from both causing his own death and the death of the idol that he quote-unquote worshipped, who was also then his mother, who he loved. Oh, I forgot about this fucked up thing. Oh, my God. So, that's their mom, right? That's their mom.
Yes.
We're raising these kids for 4 years. This woman has never once said, I love you, because she's afraid that it would be a lie. And the only time she ever says it is right before she dies.
Right, yeah.
And then she smiles because it wasn't a lie. I actually did feel it. And then the bitch dies.
Yes.
The fuck?
She is also in the search
this
of
is literally, he
discovering
has seen,
herself. These years.
I understand that. I'm not mad at her for it. I'm just simply saying the amount of pain and emotion that shit elicits is so fucking deep. Especially as a parent. Oh, that shit fucking hits deep. Then, but to get back to Aqua, he has seen all of the darkness in this world. He's lived it, both in his own life, his previous life, and in the new life, and it's all related to being an idol. And the last thing he wants to do is to let his surrogate real mother down by letting his sister succumb to the darknesses of that world. He is not overreacting. He is reacting exactly how he's supposed to, but trying to protect his sister.
Yeah, but it is so next level, you know, by blocking the agency. Making the agency calling.
Protected family.
Okay, that is what you said. I'm not gonna comment on that, but still. and then everything that he does, he quit acting and everything. He has the talent for acting, I guess. It is not acting, it is himself act the way he's supposed to act, I guess. He portrays
He does act a little bit during the movie he does with Arisa. Arima.
Akana. That one, yeah.
The movie he does with her, where he's like paying attention to what they want him to do, but he's like, that doesn't work. Yeah, and he's like, no, it needs to be done like this. And then he does it. And he acts perfectly there. But it's only when he fully understands what they're trying to convey can he act well. Other than that, it's him. Like, he's not very good at it.
Yeah, they also touch on the... We are creating this show because we just want the publicity, not really want to produce the show, and it just like a letdown to the author of the show. And the author saw or seen the last episode of it, and she was overjoyed, I guess. That's everything in there, man. That touch everything about the behind the scenes or the dark side of doing the entertainment or being in entertainment industries, not just idol, acting, singing, everything in there. It is all alive, I guess, to make us the
public. It's just a series of lies,
yeah,
to make people money.
Not just money, yeah, but still, those who are going there for the love of doing so, for their natural talent, cannot survive the show business because everyone is thinking about making money and everything. Take Akane's art for example. Akane is very talented, but she was shut down because of the production or the direction that was made for her is not the right one for her. And then she was under stress, cannot handle everything about it. And then comes the cyberbullying and everything. It's all some twisted dark side of entertainment industry, of becoming a celebrity, you know. In the end, they are all just human like us, and we are idolizing them, kind of like a goddess that makes no mistake at all. So yeah, I love this show. This is weird, quirky, but they are brave enough to touch on all of the sensitive stuff in the entertainment industries. I cannot wait for season 2, I guess. They are in the making of season 2, probably. Maybe next year, the end of the year, we'll see more of this stuff. What do you think, Shannon?
As long as they don't try to make it another freaking forever long.
No, I don't think they are going to pull a movie long one episode thingy again. No, I don't think so. But I want to see more of this. I want to see where they are headed next. little by little, Aqua got a hint of where he's supposed to look at to find this dude that was supposed to be his biological dad. But we'll see. We'll see. I have my doubts about it, but still, I don't know. Okay, memorable scene, man.
I mean, obviously, when mom dies.
I thought you are going to pick a funny one, but you picked that one, huh? Okay.
No.
No. Okay, I will pick the funny one then. Okay, when they are still an infant, maybe 2 years old, 1 year old, maybe, they blackmail the wife, the manager's wife, to bring them to Ice concert. Then they don't realize that they are still like an otaku, like the idol fan, and they just do the otaku
and then they're performing the dances perfectly,
yes,
with the fucking glow sticks as like a 1 year old.
Yeah, they goes like babu 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 babu. That is so funny, man. And then the other one, the funny one, is the when they are trying to recruit the idol group, or at least by now Kana has joined the idol group with Ruby, and then they are trying to publicize the whole thing, and they invited like a internet celebrity or something, like a YouTuber, Peon or something like that.
Yeah, and they find out she's like 30 years old.
Yeah. And then they were forced to dance for an hour long, man.
Memcho.
That was funny too. That was funny too, man.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
All right. So, character. Favorite characters, man. Waifu, maybe?
Waifu? If I had to choose a waifu, it's probably Minami Kotobuki.
Minami? Which one is Minami?
She's the one in when they go to high school, she's the one that sits next to her with the pink hair, with the overly large bust size, and the southern Kanto accent.
Gravure model. The peanut model.
Yeah. So her accent's I did watch it dubbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the equivalent of the Kanto accent, I think it is.
Kansai, yes.
Is that Kansai? The equivalent of the Kansai accent is a southern accent here. And I ain't gonna lie, I love a southern belle. I like me a southern girl.
Okay. All right, so of course I love I. But she died. Other than that, Akane is quite suicidal. So I will not pick her as a waifu.
Yeah.
I mean, she's talented and all.
She can be choosing the suicidals.
Yes. She is talented and all. She got the talent. She can mimic the celebrity that she wants to portray as, to act as. Perfectly. That is the reason why Aqua is a little bit like attached to her. Yeah, I guess. And then he realized that, oh, I just saw a ghost of I in her. And then he stopped. We got like a three-way romance thingy in there between Akane, Kana, and Aqua. I don't know, man. I don't know. If I want to pick my favorite characters in there, probably the macho guy. Because he is so funny.
The bird.
The bird. I mean, even Aqua can mimic that guy perfectly too. For some reason. I don't think that Aqua has the build for that, man. Okay, least favorite character there. character that you hate?
I'm not going to choose the stalker because that's too obvious.
Yes, that is so obvious. He killed himself.
I'm going to go with Eye's manager.
Why?
Because he just abandoned everyone.
Yes.
After Eye's death, he abandoned the entire company.
And that's left a bitch move. And left the wife.
And I left his wife to raise two kids and run a company. That's a bitch move.
Yeah. I thought the wife is going to go away and left the manager alone. But it is the
opposite. Honestly, that's what I thought was going to happen. But no, she stepped up.
Yeah, we should love the wife, man. She's dope.
She get props. She get props. She stepped up.
Yeah.
She get her flowers. She get her flowers.
I think that the manager is the one who's responsible for everything. I think the manager is the one. Why not?
I don't think so. I'm not getting like, because either he was involved, and I don't think he was there. He's their dad, because I even says that they've never seen their dad.
No. I don't think that
they would have seen him.
I don't think that he is the husband. I think he is responsible for Ai's death. He's the one who leaked the info.
How?
Because he knows everything about Ai's.
But he's the one who has everything to lose if Ai's found out. If they find out that Ai has had children, he loses everything. He does. Yeah. It serves him no purpose to expose Ai. And if he wanted to, he would have did it when she was pregnant. Why wait 4 years?
I mean, the stalker knows where I goes to, right? The hospital and everything too. He knows about I become pregnant and everything.
You're right. He does. But again, he would lose everything if she's found out.
Because
that's why I don't think it's him. I don't think it's him.
I don't know. Maybe he is part of it, but still. Why abandoned everyone? Why he abandoned everyone, right? If he's not involved in any way possible.
I don't know, man.
It is still a mystery. I cannot wait for season 2. Let's conclude the show. Okay, this is not your typical idol show. I respect
typical about this show.
I respect everything that they did with the show. It is not a fun one, but an interesting one, I guess. No wonder that this show was nominated for many, many categories for the Crunchyroll Anime Awards show. But it won the Anime Song of the Year for some reason. I think this show would have won the best drama award. Maybe the award show is just broken, who knows? But still, it's a good show. I cannot wait to see where they are headed with this franchise. Last word about the show, Shannon?
Fantastic show. Give it a watch. Be prepared to have your heart broken.
Yes. Again, trigger warning. They touch
all the trigger
very, very sensitive stuff in there, and they show us many, many horrible things in there. So watch out when you are watching this one. I mean, we are the late bloomers here. But still, I'm glad I'm watching this one now. So I wouldn't miss out on anything else after this. So I guess that's it. That is our review of Oshinoko. If you like what you heard here, please give us a like, give us a follow, and give us a rating on whatever platform that you listen this podcast on. So for our Fang FM next week, what are we going to watch next, Shannon?
So next week, I'm going back to my blind list, and we will be watching ID Invaded. This is one I have no idea what it's about.
Never heard of the
TikTok
show.
For some random anime.
Huh? Again, TikTok.
Yes, again, TikTok. Shut up. I'm trying to be open-minded, and I can't do that if I know about the show. So we go with something. I have no idea what it's about. I've never heard of it. Let's see if it's any good.
I mean, for the
this
last
is the true beauty of anime, sir.
The last three shows that you picked from TikTok, it is not that good.
Okay, but it wasn't three shows. This is the third one. So the last two shows, and one of those was good, if I remember correctly.
Which one is good?
What were my last few picks? I'm trying to remember what my last few picks were.
I mean, the last one is Kimono no Jihen. And then
Kimono Jihen was...
And then Fog Hill.
Was that one good? What was Kimono Jihen about? That one wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad, okay. But not that...
Fog Hill of Five Elements. Okay, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. And then the last one I picked before that, I believe I picked... Did I pick or did you pick Berserk of Gluttony?
You picked that one. That is not from TikTok.
Berserk of Gluttony was good. That one wasn't from TikTok. It was just Fog Hill and Kimono. So yeah. I had one good, one bad. I'm at a 50-50. I need to break the tie.
Yes. Let's hope for the best then next week.
It's going to be good.
All right. If you have any comment or suggestion regarding our show or any of our future show, you can always hit us up on the internet. Where can people find us on the internet, Shannon?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Shiitake Podcast, or shoot us an email, shiitakepodcast@gmail.com.
All right. With that being said, let's end the podcast like usual. So, being an idol has their own trouble and mishap. It is not all gold and glitters like Shannon said. But stay strong, never give up, and be the star that you want to be. Just don't die.
Good luck. You know, when you're trying to be a teen idol, but then raising two kids, and then trying to solve the murder of your mother, followed by once again trying to become a teen idol, there's no time for opi.
There's plenty of time
unless
for opi.
Unless you have a cute classmate who's a gravure model.
Gravure model, man. Wow.
How you doing? Hey.
All right. Don't shame anyone. All right.
Hey, yucking nobody, yo. Shit, let me get some.
Okay. Let's say it with me now, Shannon. I'm Shiitake.